Blog Talk Radio.
PushGapRadio.com, Hamilton Park, Dallas, Fort Worth.
And now, your 2011 Lone Star Mustang.
Welcome to the Lone Star Mustangs Women's Football Show. I am your host, Clifton Shackelford, along with our very own J-Mac. What's the business, boy?
Hey, what's going on? It seems like I'm always on location, getting ready for this Dallas Mavericks game, but dig?
That's right. The Mavericks, what you think they're going to do tonight?
Well, I do know this, that the Dallas Mavericks have proven that they can go on the road again and win. again.
Right.
So, you know, the expectation is getting a little bit higher now. I mean, I think finally the NBA is finally showing respect to not only just the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, they've always had that little bit of respect, not a lot.
Right, right.
But they are showing the final due diligence of Dirk Nowitzki, who's finally getting some type of respect. Because I really feel the only reason why he's getting a lot of disrespect is because there isn't a San Antonio team. You also, of course, Carmelo Anthony went to the Knicks. And the Los Angeles Lakers are no longer in the playoffs. Who else in the Western Division, the Western Conference, that people can pay attention to?
That's what that is. In case you didn't know, the Lone Star Mustangs were beaten by the Dallas Diamonds this past weekend, 23-12. And according to the Women's Tackle Football Group website, it's official. Dallas-Fort Worth is Diamonds country, and the defending champs might not even make the playoffs. So it looked like the Mustangs were knocked out of contention for the playoffs, huh?
Well, yeah, let me go ahead and get this out real quick. There was a particular Dallas Diamond that did kind of say that, yes, we did, that they do listen to the
Big shout-out to Bo, by the way. We'll have her
yeah.
little interview segment coming up right behind this patter set. But, yeah, she was out in the parking lot and was real crunk about them Diamonds, huh, J-Mac?
Yeah, she made it well known. In fact, it felt like she was hunting me down, it felt like. So she did make a comment saying that, you know, don't be saying that they beat themselves. So on. So, yeah, I got to give mad thoughts to the likes of Dallas Diamonds. They took care of business, you know. They found weaknesses in the longtime Mustangs strategy, and they took advantage of it. And like I said, it was a good game. The Lone Star Mustangs went in there with good contentions, and they threw a lot of effort out there. But the Dallas Diamonds proved better, they were the better team for this season.
Yeah, so now coming up, they have a bye this weekend, correct?
Yeah, well, you know, the holidays here, and all the teams have a bye. And with the
So what is it? Labor Day or Memorial Day? I always get confused.
Last time I checked, it was Memorial. No, it's Labor. It's Memorial Day. That's
see, you
is.
Don't know either. It's Memorial.
Well, you
know,
hey.
It's Memorial Day according to the calendar. So we have a bye this week. The next game is against the Little Rock Wildcats. That's on June 4th. And the final game for the Lone Star Mustangs is June 11th at the Houston Power. So, what were you saying about the playoff deal?
Well, like I said, with the playoffs right now, the Dallas Diamonds and the Lone Star Mustangs were in the same division. So, with them being in the same division and the Lone Star Mustangs losing the game, well, that does automatically knock them out of contention for the playoffs.
Right. So that was
the opportunity to defend their championship of the WFA, which, you know, I'm a little disappointed, but, you know,
that's right.
Like the Dallas Diamonds showed that they were the better team in the division, and not only did the Lone Star Mustangs have to beat the Dallas Diamonds, but they actually had to beat them by actually 11, at least by 11
right,
points.
By the 11-point margin.
Right. So, I mean, a lot was going against them. Now, I think me personally, probably would have been just better off if they were able to actually just get the W. And if they were able to get the W, then I think it would have been a better situation because, like I said, the Lone Star Mustangs are very talented. They have a many
right,
athletes
right.
on their team.
Right.
And I think they would have been able to try to find a way to pull enough points to make that playoff push.
Mm-hmm. Now, everyone has a bye this weekend. The Dallas Diamonds, one of the undefeated teams. J-Mac's going to get you caught up on all the undefeated teams. So what do you think the Mustangs go from here? At this point, are you just playing for pride? You don't encourage anyone to quit at this point, do you, Mac-Man?
No, not even, no. You know, just like a champion, you know, I would go out with a bang. I mean, I would just
make some noise.
Like I said, I feel sorry for the next couple of teams that they got to play after this because, once again, it's gonna somebody's gonna get hurt. They're gonna be putting a hurting on a couple of, you know, these next two games. And like I said, I would go out with a bang, you know. You never know. Mathematically, you know, they're out. But if there is a chance, which I doubt it, but, you know, you never know. They could, you know, I would actually go out with a bang. I mean, they already have a good-looking season. And I think they are better than the next two opponents that they got to face.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we come back, we have our interview with Coach Mike, of course. Also, Coach Pat, is that how you say his name? Pat, P-A-T, from the head coach of the Dallas Diamonds?
Yes.
Okay. And we have an interview with Coach Pat coming up as well. And Jenkins' mom, Odessa Jenkins, her mom was there at the Lone Star Mustangs game, and she was cheering very hard as well. Also, we're looking forward to our interview with Lynn Marie Liberty Ellington, the owner of the Lone Star Mustangs. We'll have all that and more coming up on the most powerful station on the Internet in Hamilton Park, Dallas, Fort Worth. We're PushGapRadio.com. PushGapRadio.com. Dallas, baby.
This is Parish of PushGapRadio.com, and I am speaking with...
Hey, Bo Jesus, number 50, Dallas Diamonds.
And, Bo Jesus, you said you had a few things that you wanted to say, or get at least clarify what was that?
Hey, yo, they talking about they beat themselves, you know.
Who is that?
Oh, the Mustangs, of course.
Oh, okay. But and that is definitely not the case?
No, it's not the case.
Okay. Well, thank you for your short but sweet input.
Yeah, you
get that a lot. All right, see you later.
Messages off, music on.
Want to make your coffee a more healthier choice? Then check out Organic Healthy Coffee. Organic Healthy Coffee contains the most pure, certified organic Ganoderma. That's a red mushroom that dates back over 4,000 years. Ancient generations prized this mushroom for its medical properties promoting health and well-being. See the difference that 100% certified organic coffee can make in your life. For more information, contact Sergio Ortega at 214-466-0661, or you can email him at successgroup@gmail.com. Organic Healthy Coffee, making your coffee a healthy choice.
PushGapRadio.com, Hamilton Park, Dallas, Fort Worth.
For all the scores, highlights, and updates on the Lone Star Mustangs, we'll be back in 60 seconds.
Cherry Inspirations. For a photography studio you can trust, call Cherry Inspirations. Cherry Inspirations make professional quality portraits accessible and affordable for families across the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex. At Cherry Inspirations, we offer quality and professional digital photographs, from baby pictures to weddings to family portraits. Let Cherry Inspirations capture life's special moments. To have photographs is to live life twice. For affordable digital photography with heart, call Sheila Cherry today at 972-835-1236 or just log on to cherryinspirations.com.
This is Parrish from PushGapRadio.com. I am here taking a few minutes to speak with...
Lola Jenkins.
And you are the mother of...
Odessa Jenkins.
And her number is...
It was number 3. She's no longer playing for the Diamonds. She's in New York now playing.
Awesome. Okay, well, I see that you're still here giving the Mustangs the major support that they need. How are you thinking the team is doing this year?
I think they're doing pretty good. As long as they keep their head in the game and play their hearts out.
All right, well, do you give me a prediction? Can you give me a prediction of the game final score. Right now, it's 12-9, the Mustangs. How many points do you think the Mustangs are going to bust that ass by?
By at least one touchdown.
Okay, so you say 27, 14, 13, something like that. What do you think?
Yeah, I say 27-13.
Okay. Good one. Now, understand, I do work for PushGapRadio.com, and we are the actual internet radio station for the Lone Star Mustang.
Hey, Odessa, this is your mama Lola, and I listen to PushGapRadio.com.
Awesome. Thank you, my.
Welcome back to the Lone Star Mustangs Women's Football Show. I'm your host, Clifton Shackelford, along with J-Mac. So, J-Mac, what do you think the Mavs are going to do? You think they'll pull it out at all?
Well, you know, the Dallas Mavericks are just going to have to they're going to have to gut this one now. We're talking about a young team that they're going up against, a little bit more there's a lot of youth in them. But if they're going to have to, the only way they're going to be able to come back on 35 to back to Dallas, they need to come back with a win.
That's
and
right.
It's going to be a dogfight. And in fact, I'm expecting it to go down to the very, very end. I have a friend of mine who's in the sports as much as I am, and his wife even said it may even go into overtime.
That's
so,
right.
So I'm going to go with what she said, and I think it probably will. If the Dallas Mavericks have that same energy, it's going to go down to the fourth quarter in overtime.
Here's the stat for Week 7 for the Lone Star Mustangs. Jennifer Hull, you were saying that she had a nice passer rating. I think her last passer rating was like 24, wasn't it?
Yeah, right now, I mean, she had a lot more completions. I mean, she went 15 for 30, so that means 50%. Now, she only threw for 79 yards. Her longest throw was 25 yards with
right.
one touchdown throw. Her rating was, like I said, 67%. So, I mean, that doesn't really tell the story. Mm. I mean, if you looked at stats and then that was it, you would sit there and say, oh, she had a hell of a game. But
right.
in reality, they lost. So even though stats are going to say that, you know, it still doesn't really show what went on with the game. The running game with Brittany Bushman, she ran for seven carries for 19 yards. Her longest run was 9. Also, Jennifer Hull, she had that, seven carries with 9 yards, but she's the one who actually had that touchdown, one of the touchdowns.
Right.
Now, when I was talking about last week is the passing game, which I did say that it was all about the completions. They didn't really have to get big yards,
mm-hmm.
which they really didn't. They didn't really get a lot of big yards. Brittany Satterwhite, she got 6 completions. 21 yards. Her longest run was 25. She's also the one that scored the first touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Jay Mack had two completions with 16 yards. Kathleen Carter, she was huge. She was really
Caitlin
huge.
Carter.
Damn, I did it again, didn't I?
You always hacking that Poe Chow's name up. Caitlin Carter, oh. Jay Mack apologizes.
Oh my goodness! I know you're gonna clean that one up.
Yeah.
Okay. Carter, she also had 3 completions with 18 yards. She had a heck of a game. She was huge in this game. But like I said, you know, the numbers don't really show how this game really went. I mean, there was a lot of heart. It was a battle, and. Yeah, I wish we had, you know, we're talking about if we can have stats on a complete stats of how many times they had, I mean, the penalty-wise by itself in the first half was just redundant. I mean, it was ridiculous, you know. But, you know, you could sit there and say that the Lone Star Mustangs actually hurt themselves, which if you look at it, they did.
Right.
I still have my little feelings on consistency when it comes to officiating. Also, the fact that they went into this game with high hopes, and you know everything was on the line pretty much. You know, had to pretty much win this game, and not only win, but they had to win it by some points too.
Mm-hmm. All right, so all right, so that's a breakdown of the offensive stats, right?
Yes.
Okay, now we'll go ahead and do the defensive stats. All right, so, so far as defense, J-Mac, what were the Mustangs looking like?
Jennifer Hall, of course, you already know she's always a beast. You know, 11 tackles. Natasha Somerville, one of the younger players, she also had 11 tackles as well. Alex Harvey with 11 as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they played hard ball-to-the-wall football on the defensive side. I mean, they played good.
That Alex Harvey loves to hit, huh? She's always high on the tackles list.
I'm telling you, man. I think they're out there having a competition of who hits the hardest or who busts the most hits.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. So what
also
is it?
On the loss side, you know, Alex Harvey also had five tackles for losses. Brittany Bushman also had four for a loss.
Did you notice Brittany Bushman's jersey? How dark it was from all the sweat.
You know what? And you know, between Jennifer Hall and Brittany Bushman, they played hard. I mean, we're talking about they played both sides of the field. You know, they played offense and defense,
right,
as well as some other players as well. And that was really the key on, I mean, pretty much what the Dallas Diamonds went after once they figured that out. You also had Jennifer Hall, she also had two interceptions for 42 yards. Her longest one was a 30-yard one. That was actually early in the game when I actually called that one. In fact, they needed a turnover at that particular time, and I called it. And yes, I know my main coach is really happy about that when we actually showed him when we did the little chest bump thing.
Right.
So also Yo Grant also had a forced fumble, and he also had a couple of deflections. So it was a good game. The defense actually really did play their role, but like I said, they just, you know, at the end they were tired. And the one of the things that I actually noticed in the Dallas Diamonds defense, their front line was actually starting to get tired. They were actually getting a little bit more help.
Right.
And that's why they were able to actually finally slow down the Lone Star Mustangs at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they did look, you know, Lone Star Mustangs at some point, they did look a little tired because the Diamonds did start going after the players that were in the game a lot, going both sides.
Right.
So that was a huge benefit towards the Dallas Diamonds.
So, J-Mac, you remember that play that Jennifer Hull made that was reminiscent of Eli Manning the year the New York Giants went to the Super Bowl? We thought she was tackled and she rolled out.
Man, she rolled out, and then next thing you know, you got nothing but diamond players surrounded her.
That's
right. And all of a sudden, the play is dead already. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she comes out. And then she's trying to throw. She ran to the corner and just started taking off, and then she throws
that's
the ball,
right,
man. That was I'm telling you, that's just straight been on ESPN.
And the only reason, Jennifer Hull, that magnificent play did not make the ESPN top 10 is you did not complete the pass. But, yeah, that's how Eli Manning did. Rolled out, threw the ball down the field, a guy caught it on his helmet, and the Giants went to the Super Bowl. You say she had another play similar to that as well, huh?
She actually did that. She actually did it twice. That was the first time, and then the second time once again had nothing but diamonds surrounding her, and they had actually grabbed her, and she shook it off like she was Michael Vick, and then she yelled and she threw it.
Ball.
And I don't think that was a completed pass though, but I don't know. I think that was completed though. I have to admit, it was quite fun to watch that one.
So what were you saying about the play clock, J-Mac, when you called my attention to that? What was going on with the clock?
Boy, let me tell you something. Now, my thing is consistency. All right, for the past couple of games that I've noticed, that the referees have not been calling the play clock. Now, of course, the play clock is not the play clock that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the actual time clock. where it tells you what it was when the game is
right,
over.
Right, the game clock.
Quarter is over. I'm actually talking about how long, you know, the play clock is actually how long the offense has to get a play off.
Right.
Okay. For the past couple of games, I've noticed, and that the officials have not been consistent with that. It hit zero many a times in the previous games, and they didn't call it.
Right.
But as far as this game, all of a sudden, they were right on it. In fact, there were times where it would barely be on zero, and they were throwing flags.
Mm-hmm.
And I did bring that up to the coach and to Coach Mike, and mm-hmm. he said, well, you know, that's, you know, different officials are different. So,
right. So you think the Diamonds brought their own zebras with them?
Right. So, I mean, I truly, like I said, I understand there are different officials.
Mm-hmm.
But my one main thing is be consistent with it.
Right.
If one team of officials are calling it, or in another team officials are being, you know, they're more relaxed about it. They wait for an extra second after the zero. Be consistent with it. Don't all of a sudden, you know, one day I'm gonna one game I'm gonna decide to call it, and then it'll be like
right.
5 seconds
right.
to the zero, and then all of a sudden you wait until the next quarter. Oh, I guess I'm gonna call it now.
Hmm.
Be consistent with it. So I really truly think that needs to be addressed.
Right. PushGapRadio.com. We're pushing hip-hop and R&B from back in the gap. The official Dallas Urban Internet station for the Lone Star Mustangs. When we come back, we're going to tell you who the undefeateds are still in the league. Also, we still have our interview coming up with Coach Mike. We're PushGapRadio.com.
Hi, this is Parrish with Push Gap Radio, and I'm here speaking with
Amanda Lehman, defensive coordinator for the Lone Star Mustangs.
How you doing, Coach Lehman?
Good.
Well, how are things going thus far for this first half?
We're doing all right. We're in there. We did give a touchdown the first half right at the end. It was just a miscommunication, but you know what? We're just down by three. We have a second half. I mean, there's no reason why we can't come out and pull this out.
All right, well, how are you going to do different than what you did the second half? What you did the first half?
The first half we were in the 5-2 a lot. We're going to switch it up and go to the 4-3, so we have an extra linebacker to scrape across there and drop back into pass coverage.
That sounds awesome. I see the game starting to come, so thanks for your time.
What it do? This is just another crazy color rapping and breaking barriers in time. The boy, bing, bing, bing. Ricochet rapping from Shaka 401 in the main event. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, 10-2. Only on PushGapRadio.com. You better recognize.
Sometimes it seems like your son has an excuse for everything.
Well, I didn't do my homework because I had to mow the lawn, and I didn't mow the lawn because I had homework to do.
But if he's within 30 days of turning 18, he has no excuse for not registering with Selective Service. Registering is the law, and it'll also keep him eligible for federal job training, most federal jobs, and student loans. He can register by returning the form he gets in the mail, by going down to the post office, or with his high school registrar. He can even register on the internet at sss.gov. With 4 easy ways to register with Selective Service, he has no excuse not to.
Mom, Dad, about the china cabinet.
As for the other excuses, well, you're on your own. Remind your son to register with Selective Service when he turns 18. It's what a man's gotta do.
From the hottest show in the game at the most powerful station on the internet, it's Shaka 401, the main event on PushGapRadio.com.
And you know this, man.
The head coach of the Dallas Diamonds, Coach Pat, the highly anticipated game has come and also come to an end. Was there anything, I mean, you guys came out as a good one. I mean, it was a good fought out game. Just tell us, what was your mindset and what was your game plan for today?
Well, like you said, man, this is going to be a classic game. We knew it going in. It's our cross-town rivals. First time we played, they're defending champions. won these championships over here. We expected nothing than what we got tonight. We knew it was going to be hard fought. We knew that it wasn't going to be easy. We prepared hard. We had a few weeks off. We had the Easter break. We got it in practice, and we came out here, and we just did what we needed to do. You know, it wasn't pretty. We got a lot of stuff we had to get cleaned up, but, you know, I salute the Mustangs over there. They gave a great effort tonight. We're going to be doing this again here in a couple of weeks. But it was everything that I expected.
Okay, cool. Now, like I said, I know point-wise, they still have the lead. Now, is there any type of strategy that you guys have for the upcoming team, which is going to be Austin? Now, Austin played the Mustangs pretty tough, but, of course, the Lone Star Mustangs pretty much dominated them. Do you think what is your game plan to go into that game, especially coming after an emotional game like this?
Well, I'll tell you what, man, there's always a lot of talk about points, you know, points scored against, and honestly, we really don't look at that stuff over here. A win is a win to us. We're actually fortunate to have a bye and be able to watch the Mustangs and Austin play, so it's kind of, you know, some good scouting for us. We're going to go into that game and treat Austin like they're a playoff team, just like we will week after week. We're going to treat them like that, prepare like that, and I think we'll be ready to go next Saturday.
All right, Coach Pat, thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right, J-Mac, signing off, pushgapradio.com.
In Hamilton Park, Dallas, Fort Worth, we're pushgapradio.com. Pushgapradio.com. We want to be your official Dallas internet station.
Welcome back to the Lone Star Mustangs Women's Football Show. I am your host, Clifton Shackelford, along with our very own internet sports guru, J-Mac. So, we're going to get into breaking down the Lone Star Mustangs defensive stats. Okay, so go ahead, J-Mac, and get us rolling with that.
All right. Now, of course, you know I'm always favoring Jennifer Hall, but, you know, she had seven tackles. But I have to give it up to Somerville.
Natasha Somerville was off the muscle. I think she was involved in a skirmish out there as well earlier in the game.
Yeah, and I believe that was, she was a part of that little scuffle, you know, she was a part of that little scuffle that went down at the end of the game. Natasha had 12 tackles that game. She was everywhere that game. Mm-hmm. You're talking about everywhere, all right? Yo Grant with 4 tackles also. Alex Harvey, she also had seven tackles as well. Mm-hmm. Alex Harvey also had 4 tackles. And Somerville also had 4 tackles for losses. And let me see here. Also, Brittany Bushner had 2 tackles for losses. Now, if you notice something that, and I also brought this up to Coach Mike as well, which I thought was going to be a concern, but but like I said, Coach knows what he's doing, and I have faith in what he was doing out there, because he's been able to do this pretty much most of the season to have Hall and Bushner and also some other players play both sides of the field.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you think that had anything to do with their breakdown? Because I kind of heard your interview with Coach Pat from the Dallas Diamonds, and the second half he said they noticed that they had them playing both sides of the ball. And so they just put in fresh running backs and just kept ramming it. So, you know, playing both sides of the ball is no easy deal.
And not only did they just run, you know, rotate the running back, but they also went on the side where those players were. That's exactly what they did. They went, okay, that person's a little tired. We're going to go to your side. All right, where this person? Oh, they switched that person. Okay, we're going to go to that side. Every, you know, that's what they were pretty consistent with it.
Right,
you know, that's exactly what they did. Of course, there were 2 forced fumbles, Alex Harvey and also Yo Grant. They both had 1 fumble forced. But and that's pretty much it on that one. A couple of deflections here and there. But it was a good game. You got to give them props.
Yes, sir.
You know, you can't knock the hustle.
Don't knock the hustle. That's right. Don't
you know, it was
host.
A good game, well-fought game. Was there anything that the Lone Star Mustangs could have done better? Yeah. Is there anything that could possibly be done for the new season, for next season?
Right.
How about pretty much just refocusing, knowing that your competition has gotten better.
Right.
In your division. And that's pretty much what happened. And the division got better. And
division definitely got better, man. And I think probably going to have a couple more teams joining on next season.
Yes, and they will. But you know, the team, instead of, you know, this year, the team to beat this year was the Lone Star Mustangs.
Right.
Next year, it's going to be the Dallas Diamonds.
Right.
The Diamonds pretty much said they said what they were going to do. Mm-hmm. And they flat out just did it.
Right.
So,
but do you
now,
think the experience over 10 years probably had a little bit more to do with that? The Mustangs have been around for 3 years, Dallas Diamonds, of course, for the last 10 years, the last decade. So do you think the experience in that perhaps had a lot to do with it? Also, you remember they came out and infiltrated 4 weeks ago at the Lone Star Mustang game. But, again, do you think that longevity, that continuity that they've built over 10 years had a lot to do with those wins?
Of course. You know, I mean, they've been in the game for some time. They have a lot of veterans on their team. You know, everybody knows that, you know, if you can mentally beat a team, then you can. Then there's nothing you can't do.
Right, like the New York Yankees over the Texas Rangers. Texas Rangers be rolling, boy, till them pinstripes come in there.
That's until last year. You know, yeah, you can't use.
Oh
that
yeah, that's till last year. Yeah, they broke that psychological bond that the Yanks seem to have.
Enough you can easily use is how the Dallas Mavericks used to play the San Antonio Spurs.
Right.
Dallas used to be very decent until they went against the Spurs. How about this year? Look at the Dallas Mavericks and the Oklahoma Thunder. Brand new team, fresh. They probably have maybe one, maybe two guys that have been in playoff or in championship situations. Dallas, look at Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
They've had more playoff experience than I don't know what on that team.
Right.
And then plus they have a total of 3-4 guys that's been in a championship.
Right.
So, what does that say? Okay? Experience does have a factor. It's all about mentally strong,
right,
and how much heart you got.
Now we're going to break down the scores from around the league this past weekend. So what are we in, week 8 or week 7? I'm confused.
Well, I believe that I know, of course, you have to remember that we had those two byes.
Right. All right. So I'm going to assume this is week 8. All right. The Northeastern Nitro over the New England Nightmare, 8-0. The Boston Militia over the New York Sharks, 43-6. Now, that interview that Parrish had with Odessa Jenkins' mom, that's who Odessa Jenkins runs for now, Yellow Shoes, for the New York Sharks. They were beaten by the Boston Militia, 43-6. The D.C. Divas were all over the Philadelphia Liberty Bells, 42-0. The Pittsburgh Passion over the Columbus Comets, 7-6. Also, a couple weeks ago, that game ran on ESPN the last time the Passion played the Columbus Comets. The Cleveland Fusion over the Erie Illusion, 50-0. The Chicago Force over the St. Louis Slam, 55-24. Here's the one we were talking about, Mac Man. The Indy Crash over the Kentucky Karma, 77-0.
Where was the mercy rule on that?
Man, don't look like it was in effect. Some Diamonds got beat over the weekend, okay? The West Michigan Mayhem beat the Dayton Diamonds, 63-0. The Atlanta Hearts.
Oh.
Hey, some Diamonds got beat, playoff. Don't play. The Atlanta Heartbreak over the Carolina Raging Wolves, 32-14. The Palm Beach Punishers over the Savannah Sabres, 35-0. The Jacksonville Dixie Blues over the Gulf Coast Riptide, 43-0. The Miami Fury over the Tampa Bay Pirates, 34-21. The Nebraska Stampede all over the Wisconsin Dragons, 48-0. The Iowa Explosion over the Kansas City Spartans, 44-22. The Kansas City Tribe beat up on the Wisconsin Wolves, 57-0. So, man, both Wisconsin teams got kind of raked over the coals this past weekend, the Wisconsin Wolves and the Wisconsin Dragons.
It just wasn't a thing, I guess.
The Austin Outlaws over the New Orleans Blaze, 52-0. Looks like Austin Outlaws are starting to come around, huh?
Well, yeah, that's pretty big right there because New Orleans was a they're still in the lead of the, in their division.
Right.
But at this point, that doesn't really hurt. That doesn't really hurt them too much because, like I said, I mean, they pretty much own the division. I mean, at this point, the Houston Powers are only, I believe, they're like a one game behind them. So, mm-hmm. you know, the Blaze will be all right.
The Dallas Diamonds over the Lone Star Mustangs, 23-12. The Houston Power, speaking of which, over the Acadiana Zydeco, 40-0. The Spokane Scorn over the Utah Blitz, 26-20. Utah. over the Utah Blitz, the Spokane Scorn, 26-20. The Central Cal War Angels over the Los Angeles Amazons, 68-0. The San Diego Surge over the Las Vegas Showgirls. Them Showgirls dropping again, 55-0. Silver State Legacy over the San Diego Sting, 35-0. Arizona Assassins over the SoCal Scorpions, 40-0. And last but not least, the Memphis Women's Tackle Football over the Tulsa Eagles, 56-0. Still getting a lot of blanks there, huh?
Yeah. I know most definitely something about some blanks. And
that's right.
I could talk about on the other side when it comes to standings. You realize how many, you still have undefeated teams, though.
Right. So we're going
to have many of
them. Yeah, we were going to break those down. Do you have that list handy, or do you want to?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and break that down. I mean, we have the DC Divas, who are still 6-0.
Right.
In Pittsburgh Passion, which, you know, was also in the ESPN, they're still 6-0. Chicago Force, 6-0. Also the Jacksonville Dixie Blues, 6-0. Miami Fury, 6-0. Who else is it? We also have, of course, the Dallas Diamonds, who are now 5-0.
Right.
The Bay Area Bandits, who are 5-0, and the San Diego Surge, they are 6-0. Those are the only teams that are still holding on for dear life because they only have a couple of more games in the season. So it is getting real interesting. I mean, at this point, you pretty much know who is in and who is out of the playoffs right at this point. I mean, especially when you still have that many teams that are still undefeated.
Coming up in hour number two, we're going to have the breakdown of Coach Lee's comments on his show about owning more than one team. We have an interview with Coach Mike Ellington, and we also have an interview with the Lone Star Mustangs owner, Lynn Marie Liberty Ellington. PushGapRadio.com, your number one Dallas urban internet station for the Lone Star Mustangs Women's Football Show. We'll be right back.
Well, these days, most of us have a computer or maybe even two or three at home, but what do you do when they are broken?
You know, we put so much stuff in our computers, it can be frustrating when they just don't work. So where do you go to get it repaired? You might think the best place is where you bought it, but then again, maybe not.
For the best place to fix your computer for home or office, contact Rapid Computer. With over 15 years of computer experience, Rapid Computers also offers free estimates. Call Alex, Fred, and the guys at Rapid Computer at 214-319-9233. Rapid Computer, located at the corner of Gus Thomason and Ferguson in beautiful Dallas, Texas. Rapid Computer, who does it better? Shaka Ford won in the main event. PushGapRadio.com. It's the hottest combination in the internet game.
I feel like
every station you listen to is
playing the same songs,
petty nonsense,
doing the same thing
over and over and then over again.
We can't tell the difference.
Money and bling this and dollar bill that is insulting.
The consolidation of radio overall has kind of compromised
Black radio.
I hate the radio now.
Nobody's talking about
it. Much more pressing issues that we probably could discuss.
And if somebody didn't plan, then I don't know how it happened.
PushGapRadio.com is next generation radio. PushGapRadio.com.
And the like first half was wonderful, second half was a struggle. What happened?
Actually, I was more pleased with the second half as far as the way that we were playing and the way that we were not making the mental mistakes like we were. We just dropped a few balls and we had, you know, a few miscues on plays. Outside of that, I was proud of the girls for, you know, busting their butts and, you know, getting out there working hard. Sometimes chips don't fall where they're supposed to.
Yeah, well, I was looking at the fact that the offensive line, it seemed like they were beating the Dallas Diamonds front line down. I mean, they were pushing them all over the place. What can you expect, especially with the point differential? You know, the point-wise, they did score a lot more points, and you guys were already down 11 at this point. What's the game plan for next week?
Oh, we got next week off, thank goodness.
Oh, yeah.
But no, we'll be playing Little Rock. You know, it's a little bit different situation with that team, brand new team. So we're going to take it to them. But and in a couple weeks, we've got the Houston Power again down in Houston. That's going to be a good, tough football game again, you know. But we're not changing anything. We're just going to come bring the, you know, bring the hit and everything. And like you said, our offensive line was doing a damn good job out there. You know, they were dominating on at one point. The only reason we had to come out of it was when the score got, you know, jacked up on us. We had to come out of it and try to pass a little bit to try to save some clock time. Just couldn't get enough going on the passing game.
Now, I know we had some bumps and bruises here and there, a couple of scares, especially with Jay Mack. She actually came back out and just stuffed it out.
I mean, it looked like, honestly, it looked like she had a compound fracture on her hand when she came out, because a huge lump came up on the back of her hand and it was bleeding. And it looked like, you know, looked like you could see bones sticking out. But apparently, we had a doctor come over and take a look at it. The doctor told us that if she comes back out, she has to have a glove on it. But she toughed it out, came back out on the field, played with it. I tell you, it looked pretty nasty.
Yeah, it really did. I got the opportunity to kind of glance at it.
And then Yo Grant over there, looks like she broke some ribs there toward the end of the game. That's why she came out when she did.
Now, you know I'm going to have to talk about this, the incident at the end of the game. This is actually the second time that there was a little altercation close to the end of a game or in a game, especially at this type of game. You know, what could have been, what was going on the field after that?
Well, two things. One, we were actually expecting them to run a victory play and be done with it. That was the first thing. Didn't happen. Okay, so what? You know, a couple face masks got grabbed and people got a little upset. I'll tell you, it was the first reaction of our players, and I actually came out on the sideline myself. To come and try to protect her as a player, because, you know, the girl's up on top of her. And as they would say in UFC, she was mounted.
Right.
And, you know, wailing on her a little bit, a little ground and pound. So, you know, I just tried to go over there and help separate the group, and so did a bunch of our girls. They just tried to go in there and lay on top of her to help, you know, save her a little bit. But I'll tell you, that is uncalled for by anybody in women's sports, in any sport for that matter. For as long as I played football, never gotten a single fight on the football field other than between the whistles, you know, so I don't understand it, quite frankly. I think it's, for lack of a better term, I don't know if you'll have to dub this out, but it's chicken shit.
Right.
So.
Well, like I said, it was a tough fought game. Penalties did hurt a lot in the first half. Second half was really good because, like I said, discipline play. Now, if there's a chance, and as I know, there's a pretty big if, or medium-sized if, I should say, if there's a chance to not only get into the playoffs, but to... No, I was trying to make it sound good.
That's great. No, there's not a chance to get into the playoffs simply because we lost the two head-to-head games against them. They're in our division. Even if they lose the next two games, we lost the head-to-head, so the tie division and division tie would be going to them.
So even if it wouldn't have mattered if the point-wise...
If we had won the game by 11 points, we would have been in the playoffs.
Okay.
That's how it worked. Because we had the two head-to-head games like that, we would have, if we had scored 11 points over them tonight, we could have been in the playoffs.
Now, also, this is their 100th game. Is there anything that you would like to say on this huge accomplishment?
That is a huge accomplishment. You know, that's going out to the Diamonds on that for, you know, staying power. It's a hard thing to have in women's football, no doubt about that. So we applaud them for sticking in there and keeping on going like that.
All right, Coach. PushCatRadio.com, Jay Miller.
I'm out.
Back to you, Shaq Davis.
That is Coach Mike Ellington. Coach Smith with the Topeka Mudcats. And I just wanted to throw this out there. I found this on the Women's Tackle Football Group website. Coach Smith says, I know this is not a football-related topic, but myself, my sister, and family needs prayer through this tough time. My mother was admitted to ICU on Thursday night at Topeka Hospital. She suffered a small heart attack and has pneumonia and is scheduled for a balloon test in the morning. Any updates can be found on our Facebook page, or you can email us at topekamudcats@yahoo.com. So, just like to ask that each and every one of you keep Coach Smith and his family and the Topeka Mudcats in your prayers. Here's a breakdown on what's going to be going on over championship weekend that goes from July 29th through the 31st. And the championship game, as you know by now, is being hosted here in beautiful Dallas-Fort Worth. Now, here's what's going to be going down on July 30th. 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. is the All-American football game. From 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. is the WFA championship football game. There will be an after party from 10 to who knows. The 2011 Women's Football Alliance football games include the All-American game in the morning, the championship game in the evening. The All-American game will feature players from 60 teams nationwide who play the great sport of women's full-contact football and who are considered to be the best at their position. The championship game will determine the Women's Football Alliance national champion for the 2011 season. As some of you know, as some of you may not know, the Lone Star Mustangs are the reigning 2010 Women's Football Alliance champion. Between games, attendees will be able to step inside and get out of the sun, visit local restaurants, see local attractions, or enjoy the pool. For more information on things to do on Saturday, see the local attractions page. Now, for you poker players out there, as a women's football fan, you are cordially invited to the Tonight is Your Lucky Night Poker Tournament and Silent Auction. Proceeds from this event will go toward the Football for Women Scholarship Program. The Football for Women Scholarship will become available to female football players during the 2012 season, helping women with their football equipment and expenses. On more information about the poker tournament, bring your best poker face and compete for valuable prizes while supporting women's football. There will be a Texas Hold'em tournament, women's football fundraiser, and this is going on July 29th from 8:30 to 11 p.m. at Boomer Jack's, the official after party for the Lone Star Mustangs. That's located at 2300 Airport Freeway in Bedford, directly across from Pennington Field. Now, that would be at the corner of 183 West and Central Drive in Bedford. Each poker player receives $1,000 in chips, a choice of Boomer Jack's entrees, and, of course, you'll have the bidding and whatnot going on. So that should be something very interested to get involved with. For more information, log on to www.LoneStarMustangs.com or go to Football for Women, that's football, the number four, women.com, www.FootballForWomen.com. On the other side of the hour, it's hour number two, we're going to get into our interview with Lynn Marie Liberty Ellington, the owner of the Lone Star Mustangs, the Little Rock Wildcats, and the Tulsa Eagles, and Coach Mike Ellington in reference to a comment that was made on a show about owning more than one team. Keep it locked to the bangingest internet station in the Metroplex. We're PushGapRadio.com. Pray until something happens. God always provides. At PushGapRadio.com, the power is in the name.
You don't know this yet, but in Hamilton Park, Dallas, Fort Worth, we are PushGapRadio.com.
The saying goes, everything is bigger in Texas. I have to agree. The most exciting cities in the world. How Dallas, Fort Worth works. An area of Texas also known as the Metroplex. And it certainly lives up to its new slogan, Live Large, Think Big. Dallas is in North Central Texas. Fort Worth sits 35 miles to the west of Dallas's high-rises. Dallas Metroplex. Metropolitan Dallas has almost more hotels than New York City. So there you have it. Everything's bigger in the Lone Star State. One reason the Big D holds a special place in the hearts of many Texans.
You don't know this yet, but we're PushGapRadio.com. Hamilton Park, Dallas, Fort Worth.
How Dallas, Fort Worth works.
We are PushGapRadio.com, taking the community to the internet. From the rabbit hole
to the Shackle for One in the main event, pushgapradio.com. We're bridging the gap between old and new radio. We got a few emails for you in 60 seconds.
This is Lynn with the Lone Star Mustangs, women's football champion. PushGapRadio.com, the official hip-hop and R&B internet home of the Lone Star Mustangs.
Tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. during the Mustang season to hear the latest episode of the Lone Star Mustangs Women's Football Show. Log on to Podomatic.com, keyword search Lone Star Mustangs. Become a listener, become a follower, become a fan. It's the best women's football show on the internet. The Lone Star Mustangs Women's Football Show, hosted by Clifton Shackelford. Only on PushGapRadio.com. Dallas, baby.
Right now, we're going to get into our interview with Lynn Marie Liberty Ellington and Coach Mike Ellington. They are the owners of the Lone Star Mustangs, the Tulsa Eagles, and the Little Rock Wildcats. This interview stemmed from a show that we heard with Coach Don Lee down there with the Las Vegas Showgirls. And we're about to play a segment from his show. And then following that, we will have Coach Mike and then Lynn Marie Liberty Ellington. We're PushGapRadio.com, pushing hip-hop and R&B from back in the gap. And now, from the Las Vegas Showgirls, here is Coach Dion Lee. PushGapRadio.com. Dallas, baby.
Quarter number two was only more than one team. I got a great email about that, and I'm going to give you my thoughts. All right, let's go ahead. Move on. Quarter number two. Got an email regarding only more than one football teams. Coach Lee, what are your thoughts about only more than one team in any particular league? Is it a distraction? Is it an issue with them playing each other? I really believe it is. I'm just hitting that email real quick. What are your thoughts on that? Well, my thoughts is this, about owning more than one team. For one, you just ask yourself to have double the debt. How about that? Is it a good idea? It all depends on what your goal is. Again, a lot of teams out there, and their mission statement is giving the women the opportunity, and I underline that, the opportunity to play football. If that's the reason behind owning more than one team, then you're fulfilling your goal, giving women the opportunity to play. You know, if your goal is to make money, it ain't going to happen. You know, I think some of the concerns might be, and like I said, I put it out there, in the WFA we do have a ownership group that owns three teams. That will be the Lone Star Mustangs, get your facts together. What they own, let me get my list here. I got to find my list. See what happens when you do research, and when you don't do research, and you don't write down notes, then you can remember everything like you're young. And I'm not young anymore, so I can't remember all the teams that are owned by the Lone Star Mustangs group. Like I said, I don't know what corporation it is. I don't know if it's a separate entity, but I give you my understanding of why after I give you the name of the teams first, okay? All right, let me go down the list right quick. We got the Tulsa Eagles is one team, and the Little Rock Wildcats. There we go. There you go, Coach Lee. Get it together. Lone Star Mustangs ownership group owns all three teams. And, you know, the question is, do you think it's right to be able to own three teams? And being that they play against each other, are you padding your stats for your main team or what? I know the Ellingtons real well. As a matter of fact, I talked to them 3 years ago here in Vegas. They happened to be in Vegas on a vacation. They knew I was in town. They called me up. I met them at the Luxor. We met down in the lobby, and we sat down, and we talked for about 2.5 hours about women's football, where it's going, all the other good stuff. And we shared some great ideas together. And, you know, expanding football was our thing. Their concept was similar to mine. Just to give you an example, I'm living in Vegas and Duncan lives in L.A., and then we got an Arizona team, and we wanted a team, say, in northern Arizona to make it best for the team. Then all three of us bring a van full of girls out there, do a tryout, get the media, and get people to be interested in football, and then, of course, find a ownership group to take over, i.e., same thing that Kathleen Masters did in the NWFL, okay? So concept-wise, it's great. You know, you're trying to cut down costs. We all know that what kills teams is travel.
PushGapRadio.com, Hamilton Park, Dallas, Fort Worth.
So if you can get teams in major cities, in between major cities, then that's great, you know, or outskirts of major cities. But to cut the travel costs down. So I understand what they're doing in that aspect. Do I know they're going to be long-term owners, or were they just trying to get it started and then hopefully find an ownership group to to finance and take over? I don't know. But that's their prerogative. I don't see nothing wrong with owning as many teams as you possibly can afford. Like I say, you're double-dipping and you're double-tripping, you know, because it ain't no money to be made, but you're trying to save some money. So I totally understand now. I guess this weekend, the Elgins played their own team. The score was pretty ugly, 89-0, so you know that there was no favoritism going on. You know, Coach Mike coaches the Lone Star Mustangs, and that's what he coached. He doesn't coach the other teams. I know Emery is probably the general manager of all three teams, watching financial things and stuff like that. But it's up to the coaches that are coaching, and hopefully the Elgins put some good coaches in place to make that happen. But, again, my personal feeling is there's nothing wrong with owning dual teams. You know, the fact is you're trying to save money. Now, just because it's a new team, do that mean that it's going to be a sorry team or, you know, whatever? No, it's up to the coaches and the management of that team to upgrade and get out and recruit just like they would their regular team and put the best possible athletes on the team as possible. Is it padding stats? I don't think so. Again, if you're in it for the real reason, and that's to coach football, to give women the opportunity to play football, and then coaching them up to the best of your ability, then it is what it is on the football field. If it ends in 89-0, then it ends 89-0. If it ends 14-13, it ends 14-13. That's totally up to the coaching staff that can make that decision based on them coaching up the girls. You know, it's all good. Like I said, you know, I got somebody on here. Is it a conflict for owners of a league to own or have interest in teams in a league, too? I mean, that one I can say yes to, because now you're putting another team, one of the coaches on the board had made an example out of that. In my opinion, yes, there is a conflict of interest. The reason why, and again, these are my humble opinions. So like I said, what I say just is what I say from the heart. It's nothing personal or anything. But I think that any owner or commissioner of a league that have any interest in a team or coaching a team, there's a conflict. Again, just from outside in, I would think, wow, you know, you're collecting all this money, and then all of a sudden your team is getting all these new uniforms and you know, getting players to come in from other towns and whatever to play. You know, am I funding that? Am I funding, you know, that type of team? You know, which I don't care. But again, that's not only in my mind. I'm pretty sure that's in 99.99% of the other owners and coaches' mind as well. You know. But, yes, it is a conflict. You know, everybody keeps asking me, or keep hearing the rumor that I'm starting up a league called League 96. And I'm like, no. I love coaching too much. I love coaching too much to go start a league. You know, again, if I start a league, I'm not going to have a team in it because there's not going to be a conflict. You know, you can't have a conflict. You don't know how the refs are. You know, hey, that's the commissioner of the league. Oh, that's the owner of the league, and he's coaching that team. I can't throw this flag. Or if he yells at me, you know, or she yells at me, whatever is the case, then there's a problem. And I've heard that complaint, you know, intimidating and all this other stuff. But the bottom line is you can't own a league or be a commissioner of a league and have any interest in any of the teams. So to drop the rumor about Coach Lee, you know, starting his own league, let's go ahead and put that to a stop right now. Unless I'm not owning the team or coaching the team, I would not start a league. Okay, but again, the conflict of interest is you got money coming in, and then you're seeing a team that becomes superior to the team that you're coaching. You know, be it in equipment, be it leveraging playoffs, be it leveraging schedules. It's just so many conflicts that people would just try to harp on. And I know, you know, again, people want to know, what are you talking about, Coach Lee? This is my first time listening to you. You know, folks in the WFA, we have to deal with Jeff and Lisa King. Yeah, they're the owner of the league, commissioner of the league, all that stuff. Lisa's a player. Jeff is a former coach of another team. I don't know if he's coaching up at the Angels. Don't know. Don't care. But I'm just answering the question. Just answering the question that's here. And like I said, I know there's 99.99% of the people who are thinking that. I'm just the one who's speaking it. I mean, that's why I'm loved and hated at times, because I speak the truth. I just speak the real. I don't worry about consequences. But that's the fact. That's how people are seeing it. You know, if you're going to be an owner, you're going to be, you know, is it a conflict to be the owner and the head coach? Because that's another question that's been thrown out at me. No, because the main objective as an owner is to win. The main objective as a head coach is to win. So we got the same objectives to win. Ownership maybe be hands off. Maybe they don't know football. They don't know X's and O's, but they might know marketing. They might know proper proper mechanisms in the stands to get people in the stands, you know, saying hello and all that other good stuff. You know, there's some coaches and owners like myself who feel that there is no better coach out there. You know, I've coached on many coaching staff with some dumb coaches. I really have. And that's not only just women's football. I'm just talking about football in general. So I don't see it as a conflict. Why do I don't? Because I'm in that position. I don't mix my ownership skills and my coaching skills and stuff like that. I don't do it. I deal with one at a time. My general manager, when I'm on the football field, is the one who makes those decisions. Now, if it's a non-practice, a non-game, and we're talking about ownership and talking about marketing and stuff like that, then I'm involved in it. I just like to be hands-in. So, again, that's just my perspective. Again, like I said, you can always Facebook me at Deion A. Lee on Facebook. You can hit me here at the Ning Board, Coach Lee. You can hit me at LasVegasShowgirls@yahoo.com. You can hit me at WomensFootballCamp@yahoo.com. You can call me on my own cell phone or text me at 702-764-8878. You know, like I said, drop those numbers. It doesn't matter. Drop the questions. That's what we're here for. We're here to learn. BJ, I'm not sure if we got anybody on the line, but if so, let me know. If not, I can move on because, you know, time flies when you're having fun.
What are you waiting for? Represent where you coming from.
Hi, this is Tara. I'm from Dallas. And when I'm at work, I listen to Push Gap Radio. My name is Ginger. I'm from Virginia. And when I'm at work, and I listen to Push Gap Radio.
My name is Justin Graves. I'm from West Texas. And when I'm at work, I listen to PushGapRadio.com.
PushGapRadio.com, where you are coming from.
Now, in response to Coach Deion Lee's comments about owning more than one team in the Women's Football Alliance, here is the Lone Star Mustangs head coach, Mike Ellington. We're sitting in with the Lone Star Mustangs coach, Mike Ellington. Coach, how are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
Doing outstanding. You heard the interview earlier about Coach Don Lee. He was talking about owning more than one team. Well, that happens to be the case with Coach Mike Ellington and Lynn Marie Ellington, his lovely wife. And to get a little bit more background on what Coach Lee was talking about, we had a few questions. J-Mac, if you would, sir.
What's going on, Coach Mike? How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to ask about the statements that he had made. Of course, he said that it was an email that was asking about someone owning multiple teams.
Okay.
Now, how do you feel about what was said, or what Coach Lee has said about owning more than one team?
Well, he was expressing an email from somebody that obviously has a problem with us having multiple teams, or with people having multiple teams. One of the big highlights that hit me was I thought it was very interesting that they thought that we might be trying to pad our stats playing teams that we own. But, you know, it's one of those things where, for us, it's better if we have good, solid competition. It gets people in the seats. It does all those things. We're not in any way looking to own a team so we can go beat up on that team. We want them to be as competitive as possible. We do understand it's going to take some time for them to get to the point where they are competitive. That's the same with any brand new team in the league. If you look around league-wide, all the brand new teams are, you know, suffering some pretty hard losses this year, you know, to some of these more veteran teams. You know, if it would be different if we were the only team playing against those teams, if we had, you know, if we didn't have the Diamonds playing against them, if we didn't have, you know, Memphis and Houston and Austin and all these teams playing against them, I could see where somebody might be a little, questioning that. But the fact that we're all playing them, I don't know how you can pad your stats when you're actually all playing the same teams.
Okay, my next question is pretty much, since you threw that out with the stats and stuff, do you feel that having multiple teams being owned by the same person? Actually, you know what? I'm going to change that up. I know there has to be more than one owner owning more than one team. That was the question that I just want to ask. Is there more than one owner owning more than one team? Because he's pretty much stating that it's not only benefiting you, but he's saying that 90-plus more percentage of the people are thinking that way, and that's why he is saying
it. Yeah, well, as far as I know, we are the only ones that own multiple teams at this point. You know, there's a bit of a misunderstanding as far as why we own the teams and why we're doing what we do.
Right.
You know, from our standpoint, we look at it as an opportunity to provide, you know, women with a chance to play football. That's number one. Number two, it filled in some geographic areas that last year when we looked at the map, you know, we're looking at travel, which is the biggest expense for most of these teams. We looked at filling in some of the blanks in between some of the divisions, you know, in an attempt to help everybody else. The problem is that a lot of times when you have owners that go in that don't understand that they're actually operating a football business, they go out there and just start a football team because they like to coach, or they start a football team because they think that it's going to be fun to play on the team or whatever. They don't, you know, understand how much it's going to cost and the things that go into it. We have experience dealing with the Lone Star Mustangs team, and we decided to apply that experience and put it toward the Little Rock and Tulsa team and, you know, build that over a long period of time. It's not something that we're going out there and doing for 1 year or something. We wanted to go out and build it for a long period. So when people are looking at it and saying, you know, we're just going out there and, you know, flailing in the wind or something, they don't get the idea that we're operating it as a business and, you know, we're not going out looking for other owners because we have the ability to own it and manage it.
Okay, you know, my next question is, besides the comments, or the statement that he has come out with, or Coach Lee has said on his show, has there been anybody else that said anything about this to you?
Oh, there's people from at least one other league that have made, you know, comments that, you know, they believe that we're not doing the right thing for the girls and all these kind of things. But what they don't see, for example, there was one evening that I got a, you know, somebody was texting me basically saying something that we weren't going out and, you know, supporting these other teams and all that kind of stuff. What they didn't realize is that my wife and I have been, you know, to all the games. We travel to all these teams. We go out there. We've been to practices. We've been to games. We've been to everything we can get to make sure that they're operating correctly. You know, that the home games for each team, we've made sure to be at every single home game. We have at least one of us is at every one of their home games, which we could have just sat back and not traveled and done all these things. And, you know, we basically created ourselves three times more work by having three teams. You know, it's just we added travel time to our family and everything else, but we did it because we love the sport and love the girls and want to get them out there playing football.
So, Coach, in the future, do you think that you guys will be looking to sell one or both of the other teams, or do you look at it as a long-term plan with all three teams?
Well, it's kind of a combination of those things. We'll look at it. We definitely look at it as a long-term situation, but with any business in the cycle of life of business, every business is for sale at one point or another.
Right.
And, you know, so if somebody came up to us and said they were going to offer a bunch of money for it, you know, we'd be crazy not to do something like that. But we don't see that happening anytime in the near future. We know that it's, you know, it's just a cycle with women's football that you have to, you know, we're witnessing it right now. The Lone Star Mustangs, you know, our losses and those kind of things, but you lose a couple players and it changes the whole outlay of, you know, how your team operates. And the same thing's going to happen with Tulsa. The same thing's going to happen with Little Rock. They're going to go through the same cycles. You know, hopefully they can get up there and win a championship before they cycle back the down direction, but that's the hope for every team in the league. You know, all 60 teams are trying for the same thing, so not everybody's going to be able to win that championship.
So, I mean, I still look at it like, you know, I mean, it's not like the Dallas Diamonds, this their first season into your into the WFA, and this is your third season in this league. Not every team in on their first try is going to be, the you know, as good as the Lone Star Mustangs or the Vegas Showgirls or the Dallas Diamonds. I mean, Dallas Diamonds, I feel that they're a little bit different situation because they've been in the game for some time.
10 years.
So to be a part of the Lone Star Mustangs and knowing that this is our first time with you guys, with the Lone Star Mustangs organization, I don't feel that this is not about patting up the stats, because let's think about it. If that was the case, and this is how I feel, that if that was the case, the Lone Star Mustangs would be, way ahead of the game, more points.
Right.
And I can keep going and going. We wouldn't be having an issue with playoffs. And not only that, if that was the case, why would you allow the Dallas Diamonds to be in your division if that was the case, you know?
Right. There's that, and there's also the point that, you know, you look at, we did beat, you know, when we went up and played against the Tulsa team, we beat them by more than the 40 points. You and I both know that. But instead of reporting it at that higher score, we reported it at the 40 points. There's, you know, it's not like we're going out there trying to embarrass people or anything like that. We're there. We want these girls to play football. We want them to continue to play. We want them to enjoy the game. As far as padding stats, you know, the first year I started giving out some awards for individual stats kind of thing. You know, if you got over 100 yards rushing, I gave you a star or something to put on the helmet or a football. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you were on defense and you got a tackle for a loss, I was giving you a skull and crossbones. But I realized about halfway through that first season that some of the girls were so intrigued, I guess, by the sticker and going for their individual stats that it no longer was important to be a part of a team. So I took those awards away simply because I didn't want them worrying about stats. To me, stats are for the person on the outside looking in. I could give 2 cents for the stats other than that. We just know that people on the outside like to see their stats. For me, I could care less how many stats they got as long as I got wins.
It's all about the W.
Yeah, it's all about the W. And my next thing I wanted to say was, I know it's all about team. It's all about team. I mean, we all know that if you can't win with just one player. And I'm glad you brought that up with the fact that, you know, it's not about stats, and you started something, you tried it, okay? And you noted that Shaq, if I'm right or wrong, mm-hmm. and Coach Mike could tell you, you can say the same thing too. You know, you tried something, and at the time it felt good, it felt wonderful to try it, but you notice, okay, well, this is not really working. This is actually singling people out. And I'm seeing that since somebody wants to, call somebody out, it seems like since you guys have the ability to try something different, certain people want to point the finger and say, well, look what they're doing. They're not doing it right. I don't feel it's fair. But let's look at the from Jump Street.
Boy, what's your question?
What I'm saying is that, you know, everybody has to try something different. And every time there's something different, there's other people that did never want to do it. All of a sudden, they want to criticize. They want to go against it. Mm-hmm. They want to say all the bad things. I don't see anything bad about this.
Some of the people that are critical of it haven't even been able to get their own first team off the ground yet.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, until you can feel the team and understand how you have to manage that team, you might want to just respect the people that are doing it and learn something from what they're doing. We're not better than anybody else or anything like that. We're just willing to try a couple new things.
Mm-hmm.
But, to me, some of the folks that are out there basically criticizing it haven't gotten off the ground yet. And I have a hard time accepting criticism from somebody like that. Now, there's other people in the sport that have been around for a long time. And, we're not hearing a whole lot of criticism from them. What we're hearing from them is, they're wanting to sit back and watch to see if it actually works.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's something that you do when you're going out, when you're willing to be a, when you're willing to try something new like that, you're going to have critics on both sides of it. We don't deny that at all.
That's Coach Mike Ellington, head coach of the Lone Star Mustangs. Coach Mike, we thank you for jumping on with us, baby.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I just don't like the fact that you people try something different and all of a sudden everybody want to criticize, which, in a way, it's always a thing,
Right.
What was his name? Cat Williams said that if you have 10 haters, you need to get 10 more.
Need to get 10 more because you're going to always have haters out there. Coach Mike, thanks for jumping on, man.
You got it, man.
Bye now.
Bye.
My kid's into skateboarding.
My daughter's into art.
Mine's into the environment.
My son's into photography.
My kid's into everything.
Then get your child involved in the volunteer program for Kids Who Care. Are you into it? It's a great opportunity for kids to participate in what they're into, hang with friends, and help the community. So are you into it? If you are or think your kid might be, then give 4-H a call toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
Maybe they can get my kid into cleaning his room.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Wait a minute. I need to do a practice. This is Jackie of the Shaka 41 and the Main Event Show. Log on to pushgapradio.com every Thursday and Friday at 10 a.m. to hear the latest in entertainment and current affairs. It's going to be hot, darling. Pushgapradio.com. And then I got stuck.
In 3, 2, 1.
This is Jackie of Shaka 41 and the Main Event Show. Log on to pushgapradio.com every Thursday and Friday at 10 a.m. to hear the latest in entertainment and current affairs. It's going to be hot, darling. Pushgapradio.com, never average, never mediocre.
And now, here's our interview with Lynn Marie Liberty Ellington in response to Coach Don Lee of the Las Vegas Showgirls in his comments about owning more than one team. Lynn Marie Liberty Ellington owns the Lone Star Mustangs, the Tulsa Eagles, and the Little Rock Wildcats. And now here's Lynn Marie Liberty Ellington on the official Dallas Urban Internet home of the Lone Star Mustangs, pushgapradio.com. Pushgapradio.com. Dallas, baby. We're in the second part of our interview pertaining to owning more than one team in the league. We told you we would be talking to Lone Star Mustangs owner Lynn Marie Liberty Ellington. Lynn Marie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Clifton.
So, Lynn, tell us which teams you guys own.
We actually own the Lone Star Mustangs, who are the 2010 national champions for the Women's Football Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
We also own the Tulsa Eagles in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we own the Little Rock Wildcats in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay. Magman, do what you do.
Lynn, I just wanted to talk to you. I just wanted to ask about Coach Lee's statements that he made on his show. First question is, how do you feel about the statement that he had made on what Coach Lee made on his radio show?
Well, from what I understand, Coach Lee and I have talked for several years now. Coach Lee, understands what we're doing. I think he got an email from a person asking a question or bothered by it. And as far as the person, we're always going to have critics for what we do. I don't have a problem with them. Coach Lee and I have talked several times about multiple ownership. And if you look back at his archives as well, he stated that he understands the positive nature of it. if it were a situation, you know, the negative part of it would be if I was trying to trade players amongst the teams or trying to, you know, have coaches know other people's plays or something like that. You know, that's not what we're about, and that's not what we're trying to do. So we make that part very open. Each team has its own set of coaches. Each team has its own set of players. If a coach has a problem or is unprofessional, then they are no longer with the team. It's, you know, it's very cut and dry for me. But Coach Lee, you know, from what I understand, agrees with me as far as what we're doing and trying to fill in gaps in women's football. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with Coach Lee. The person that's criticizing, I could care less what they think.
I like that. I like that outlook.
Now, the next question is, how many other owners own more than one team?
I believe nobody else owns more than one team. I don't know that it was ever a thought in their mind or an idea. It's been a part of the process for us since we began when we set up our business plan. And a lot of people think that because we won the championship, we wanted more teams. And that's not the case. We actually set up a business plan in the very beginning before we even set things up. And I've talked about this before. You know, we called around to the Toledo Rain. We called around to some teams in Tennessee before we started this and said, hey, tell me the good, the bad, and the ugly. Tell me what I need to know. Tell me what I should absolutely not do. And tell me what you've been successful at. And they were willing to give any information that I wanted to ask, which, you know, I guess other owners should be doing that before they start teams as well. But we went into it and we set up a business plan that we were going to own one team. And the first year we were really going to focus on the, you know, setting up our processes and procedures and getting those things locked down. And then the second year we were going to focus on the football, which, you know, got us the championship. You know, we really focused on making sure that was a good thing. We knew that the third year we were going to expand into other teams. We knew we had to be able to put people in place in other locations to be able to make that successful. And that's probably the hardest part, is making sure that the people in the other locations are doing things to the standards and the processes that you've set up. It's very difficult when they don't. And then, of course, you know, our plan for this year is, you know, at the end of the year, we evaluate what went good, what went bad, just like any other business, and then we reevaluate and see where we're going from there.
The other thing I want to ask is, do you feel owning multiple teams hurts or hinders? Is it a hinder the league, or does it help the league?
When I look at it, you know, when I go through a business decision, before we actually go out and make a business decision or decide on a process, we sit back and what we call poking holes in it. You know, are we going to do this fundraiser? Are we going to set up this team? What's the good, the bad, and the ugly? You know, how could this be bad? And we look through those things and we try and determine, you know, anybody's question on it has not been able to give me a bad aspect to it. We are able to cut costs because we are able to purchase items in a bigger quantity because we have the three teams. We are able to take the same processes that we have, which would be a fixed cost, and we are able to educate more women with it. You know, we are able to go out to sponsors and say, hey, you're not just going to get two hotels, you're going to get four hotel stays. But, you know, people ask me all the time, do you have a favorite team or do you have a favorite player? And it's like asking, you know, is your favorite your oldest son or your youngest daughter?
Right. Who's your favorite child?
Right. So, you know, and even if you talk to the players, I try and be very strict with everything. I don't have favorites. Everybody has the same responsibilities. We try and set up, you know, 20 different ways for them to make money, and if they choose to make money, they choose to make money. If they choose not to make money, then they are still responsible for what their responsibilities are to make sure that everybody has an equal share in this. We don't have situations where certain players have a cheaper rate or certain players don't have to go get sponsors. Everybody is equal. Same thing with coaches. the coaches are expected to do the stats and scout teams and conduct themselves in a proper way. And I make sure that they know that Coach Mike is here to ask questions about how to deal with female football players. He's here to ask you, you know, what kind of drills are good for this or that. He's willing to do that, but nobody knows anybody else's plays. Nobody knows anything else about any of the other stuff. So as far as I can tell, unless somebody can give me something, I don't see any way that it's hindering it. You know, people look at it, oh, in the NFL, we only have, you know, one team per owner. Well, that's fine. That's the NFL. And maybe someday we'll get to a point where it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the way things are working and the way things keep going around and around, we're not getting far. In the 3 years that I've been doing this, we're not getting what we should be able to do with this, the number of girls and the number of teams that we have. It's okay, you know, if one team gets television or one team gets radio, but that's not even going to make a dent into where women's football can go. So if women's football is going to stay where it's at, then I don't see a problem with multiple owners owning multiple teams. I mean, especially the teams that are doing it really well. I mean, there's some teams out there that, you know, for years have been able to set up good established organizations. The Dallas Diamonds, the Pittsburgh Passion, you know, some of these teams that have been around a while, you know, I think it would be very beneficial to have them own additional teams, or at least offer that information out to other people. And I know, you know, several teams do that, are willing to offer what they do for fundraising. But there's some teams that are doing really, really good at it, and there's some teams that, you know, it's a seasonal. Women's football is a seasonal thing. So if somebody can tell me how it would hurt, then I might look at that. But as
right.
far as I'm concerned, we've been able to give more women the opportunity to play football that never were able to before.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing that in a cost-effective manner, treating all the players equally. And, you know, if they take care of their stuff, they take care of their stuff. If they don't take care of their stuff, then I'm not interested.
One of the things that he had brought up and I noticed, I mean, he was saying that he is only, it's one thing to pull out, you know, say your opinion. And then there's another thing of looking at just flat out stats and facts, you know.
Okay.
And he had said on here saying that more than 90-something percent of people are thinking it, but he is the only one to really say it. And I'm trying to, I'm just really curious, where is the 90-plus percent at? And how many people have actually come up to you and actually said this to you, that they had a problem with it?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't had anybody come up to me and say anything to me as far as negative. You know, there's the Ning board, and it, you know, it's had, I think, one negative comment that kind of rolls around, and then somebody puts a positive thing out there, and then they delete it. It doesn't matter to me because I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing unless it's against the rules or against the law. We're gonna keep trying to make women's football successful. You know, you'll always have players and coaches and other owners that disagree with you. You always will. There's no getting around that. But what we try to do is, you know, establish a solid business. And we expect all of the players, coaches, and staff to work within that. And you can tell, I mean, you know, in the past, we've had very few people leave our organization because of the processes or the procedures or how we run things. You have people that leave that don't want to follow them. You have people that leave that don't want to take care of their responsibilities. You have people that leave that are unprofessional. We, you know, we have some situations where we have to say, I'm sorry, but we, you know, this is not a professional situation for us. But all in all, everybody that's here is here, and there will always be people that, you know, you're not sure, you know, they don't want to follow it. They want favoritism. They, you know, they want to, you know, not have to get sponsorships. They want to not have to come to practice. You'll always have that. But, you know, as far as people coming up to me, one girl asked me the other day, actually at a game, she said, why, you know, you have multiple teams. And I said, yeah. And she says, why not focus all your energy on one team? Which, you know, is definitely a good question, and people do that. You know, I have put 3 times more work on myself to get this done, and 3 times more work on several people to get this done.
Your family included.
You, yeah.
Hey.
But I believe in the sport. I believe that the women that really want to be there and really, you know, there's probably a lot of good women on each team. There's always going to be people that you could do without or have a bad attitude, but women's football is a great sport, and it can go a long way. But you'll always have somebody that's negative. The question that I was getting at was, you know, why not just focus all your energy on one? There's a fine line and a balance in that when it comes to business, and it's, you know, kind of a philosophical theory out there for business. But the idea is that we all have to come together. You know, if I'm doing bake sales and you're doing a television show, neither one of us is benefiting each other, because your television show is not going to go off with 1,000 watchers, and my bake sale is only going to earn me $55. So there needs to be a common ground in women's football. I know that for years past it's been a situation where a lot of people have great ideas, but they don't want to give out their ideas because they're afraid other teams are going to use those ideas against them.
Right.
I still believe, you know, and there may be more teams down the road. I hope other owners that are doing an awesome job think about the idea of taking those ideas that they've put together and multiplying it, whether it's multiplying it within their team or multiplying it into other teams. Because there are so many different things that you can do with women's football, and it doesn't have to be a money loss every year. It doesn't have to be. So, but that's in the processes and procedures. You know, if you know, we have examples on our team. Our girls are responsible for taking care of certain responsibilities. If they want to go get a sponsorship for that, then great. They can get a sponsorship, and it doesn't come out of their pocket.
Right.
I don't want any money from players. I want money from everybody else.
That's right, Leah. That's right.
So if my players choose to go get that money, that's great. But if they don't, there's still a responsibility. And with that, they then get, you know, their hotels paid for and their gas paid for and all that stuff. But if they don't go and do that, you know, I have girls that come to me and say, so where are we staying this week? Well, I know where I'm staying. Where are you staying?
Mm-hmm.
Because, and that's another thing, owners, there has to be some kind of consistency as far as this is the fee or this is the responsibility or this is the sponsorship. There has to be a way of staying with that, sticking with it, and being accountable to that.
Mm-hmm.
But that also goes with players. If you only have 25 players and 10 of them don't do their stuff, you still have to have a game, you still have to have a team, and you still have to pay for those hotels or whatever the case is in order for them to get there.
Right.
But if you have 100 people, then you can say, oh, I'm sorry, you haven't taken care of your responsibility or you haven't been to practice. I listened to Coach Lee a long time ago. I had put in some policies and thought, well, maybe my policies are a little too harsh. And then I listened to him and another coach on one of his radio show, and he said, this is what I do. And I said, okay, you know, it's pretty reasonable. I'm not being too ridiculous.
Right.
And so I stuck with my guns on those certain things. And like I said, you'll always have some people that are trying to mooch off the system. He talked about on his radio show last night, he talked about players that said, oh, yeah, you know, I'm not going to play, but, you know, I'll take my jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do you need your jersey? It's to represent the team. You're
right.
Not a representative of the team. You don't need the jersey. You don't get the jersey.
In Hamilton Park, we call these people haters. So, Lynn, going forward, I pose this question to Coach Mike as well. Are you looking to sell either team in the near or distant future?
No. He probably is. It is a lot of work, and people don't realize, you know, when they get into it, a lot of people think of it as just, you know, we're going to teach football. It's women's football. You know, I've done this in my original sense. I want a football team for each of my children because I believe in the process of, you know,
right.
You buy them a fish, they can eat today.
You teach them the fish.
The fish,
They'll eat for a lifetime.
They can do whatever they need to do to get their fish. So that's how it's handled.
Well, that's Lynn Marie Liberty Ellington, owner of the Little Rock Wildcats, the Tulsa Eagles, and your Dallas Lone Star Mustangs. Lynn Marie, thank you for jumping on, ma'am.
Thank you, Clifton. Talk to you later.
Bye now.
Bye.
Mr. Miller here.
PushCatRadio.com.
The Lone Star Mustangs Women's Football Show, hosted by Clifton Shackelford. Become a listener. Become a follower. Become a fan. PushGapRadio.com. Dallas, baby.
For the hottest old school hip-hop and R&B, entertainment, and current events, stay connected to PushGapRadio.com. PushGapRadio.com. We want to be your official Dallas Internet radio station.
Welcome back to the Lone Star Mustangs Women's Football Show. That was Coach Don Lee down there with those Las Vegas showgirls talking about only more than one team. You also heard the interview with Coach Mike Ellington, and you just heard the interview with Lynn Marie Liberty Ellington. As you well know by now, they own the Little Rock Wildcats, the Tulsa Eagles, and your Lone Star Mustangs. So, J-Mac, what were you saying off air about Coach Lee's comments?
Okay. Now, I want to go ahead and say that this is my opinion, and this is how I feel about the comments and the situation of Coach Lynn owning multiple teams. What I'm about to say is not because of maybe Coach Mike and Lynn really want to say, and I'm just saying it for them. No.
Right.
We're going to go ahead and clean that up right now.
That's right.
Okay? This is all me. This is all J-Mac. And if Coach Lee or anybody else feel that I'm out of place or they want to, make a response.
What's your contact information?
You guys know how to respond to us. You can go to PushGapRadio at Yahoo.com, or if you want it directly to me, you can easily go to J-Mac, Push Gap Radio on Facebook, or you can go to jmac.pushgapradio@gmail.com, and we can talk about it.
That's right.
This is how I feel. Times are different. Things are changing. It's time to at least be bold with things, okay?
Right.
They're actually taking a chance. They're actually taking away from family time,
Right, right.
Times that they can go to sleep and rest and do other things. They are making a huge sacrifice to better something that they believe in.
Correct.
It is a dream. It is a goal. They're trying to better something.
Mm-hmm.
Before, who knew about the WFA? We knew they were the Women's Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when you mentioned football for women, the first thing you think of is what? The lingerie.
Lingerie team. Ball, yeah.
Now look at it. The WFA has has 60 football teams.
Mm-hmm.
60. And this is how I feel about what Coach Lee said. I feel that, first of all, get your facts together.
Mm-hmm.
Get them together. Okay, there could be only one person with owning multiple teams. Yeah, sure, you had conversation with them, and I understand that.
Right, right.
I understand that the emailer feels that, I don't think it's fair. But look at the facts. Look at the information.
Mm-hmm.
What have they done to show that they are quote unquote, favoring only one team.
Right.
The Lone Star Mustangs played the Tulsa team, and they did blow their back out. They sure did. But on the stats, when you look it up, it shows it was, you know, they only scored 42 really, and they only scored 80 points. Get your facts together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they scored 80-some points, but guess what? It shows on their 42. Now, if there's a team that's supposed to be favored, an owner that's favoring a particular team,
mm-hmm.
why would they show that?
Right.
Wouldn't you, if you're trying to show it off and stretch your stuff, you would show the real score, now wouldn't you?
That's right.
Another thing is, where is this 90-plus percent at?
Why is that goading you?
You saying that there's 98% people saying this, but when I'm listening to you listening to the show on that segment, you say email. You didn't say multiple emails. You
right.
said email. I see it. Last time I checked, and I know I'm not an English major or anything like that.
That's right.
That last time I checked, I think it sounds like one email.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that, you know, everybody likes to go against the grain.
Yeah.
It's okay to go against the grain. I'm for going against the grain from time to time. But understand why certain people are going against the grain. Are they bettering? Are they trying to better just themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Are they trying to better their dream?
Mm-hmm.
Me, Clifton, Miss Jackie, except of the whole Push Gap Radio family, most definitely understand where Lynn and Coach Mike is coming from.
Right, right.
Going against the grain. We did something from the bottom and let it grow.
That's right. From absolutely nothing, we built the small but mighty PushGapRadio.com. You're right about that.
And so look at the positive in what they're doing. She wants more people to have more ideas and put it to the table.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get out of that mentality of, well, I got an idea, but I don't want to share it. Okay, that's just kind of like this. When a cell phone comes out,
mm-hmm.
one company has that cell phone. I have that cell phone, but you want that cell phone. But the only way I'm going to be able to get that, you know, you're able to get that cell phone is if I have to give you the information to make that cell phone for your company.
Or licensing it to you.
So, everybody wants that product, but you got to earn it, you got to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
So why not just give the idea so everybody can get a piece of that pie?
Exactly.
I'm not trying to call Coach Lee a hater or anything like that. I'm just going
mm-hmm.
by what you said.
Right.
And since you say that, you know, you're the one that you either most like or most hate, I'm not saying neither one of them. I'm just saying state your facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, apparently you have some type of information. You're only going by what other people say or what your opinion is. You have to divide the difference between your opinion and flat-out facts.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is it, Pimpin? Because I know what it is.
Well,
and if you say that you're keeping it real, I'm keeping it real, too.
Keep it 100. Well, like I said, the Ellington family, Coach Mike, Lynn Marie, the kids, they're making a huge sacrifice for what they're doing to give other people an opportunity, okay? Not many people around are doing that. Most people, I mean, they tell God, bless us for, don't bless no more. But the Ellingtons are doing a phenomenal job. They're making a dream available to hundreds of women who've always wanted to play football. I don't know where it came from within them that they wanted to go out and hit, but you're a human being. You want to hit, you want to hit, flat out, all right? They're doing a phenomenal job with what they're doing, with putting these teams into different parts of the country, making it accessible. Because, again, the biggest part of what they do is the travel, okay? And it's like you talked on last week's show, J-Mac, about the Tulsa Eagles. Look how far they travel to play away games. Does that have any bearing on how you feel. Are you rested? Are you ready to rock and roll after being on the road for so long? But, again, the Ellingtons are doing a phenomenal job, and I'm like you. I'm not saying something that they want me to say. They don't even know we're talking about this at this point. But I think it's a phenomenal thing that they're doing, and you should just get behind it. If you have ideals to push the league as a whole ahead, get those ideals out, because what you're thinking about a particular ideal, you'll give it to someone else, and they'll be your Michael Jordan with that ideal. They will take that ideal to the stratosphere. You have the ideal, but you may not have the time right now to push your ideal. Get it out there. Let someone else hear it. Someone else will take that building block and put another block with it. Someone else will see what they've done and add something to it. And it helps the league as a whole. And that's what that is.
Thank you. You know what? I say this, Coach Lee, you know, I know you're going to be listening because it's like a lot of people are listening. Get at us, man. Call us.
Get at us. Get at us, 972-5.
You know, most definitely call us. And you know what? I'll have no problem going on your show and talking about this or whatnot. Now, and vice versa. You know, we have a
Oh, feel free to come on.
We have an open policy.
Well, you can hit us up here at pushgapradio.com at 972-591-8777. That's 972-591-8777. For anything you'd like to kick in and say about what we discussed today. Lone Star Mustangs, and to all of our listeners out there, please, after the end of this show, log on to Podomatic.com. Keyword search Lone Star Mustangs. When the show pops up on the right side, click that you want to be a follower. We've been staring at 10 followers for the last month. Who's number 11? Whoever becomes the 11th follower, we're going to bring you on the next show. I'm Clifton Shackelford, along with J-Mac, on PushGapRadio.com, the official Dallas Urban Internet home of the 2010 Women's Football Alliance champion, Lone Star Mustangs. Mac Man, sign out.
Hey, Coach Lee, holla at me.
We're PushGapRadio.com. Go Mustangs. Now, you know we're off for Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk to you again June 6th. We're out. We don't want it, we're running from it. And if there's a remedy, we don't need it, we just eat it. And now, your 2011 Lone Star Mustangs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to take this opportunity to introduce in numerical order the entire roster of your 2011 Lone Star Mustangs. Number 3, Sky, Pink Panther, Garrett.
PushCatRadio.com. We want to be your official Dallas internet station. In Hamilton Park, Dallas, Fort Worth, we're PushCatRadio.com.
PushCatRadio.com. It's Dallas, baby.